Okay, here we are again. Miss Meeks, Miranda, and Everton for
Memotex, aka
that's enough.
Ebiz.
For another podcast from An Inspector Calls, and this time we're going to be talking about the inspector. So my first question to you, Miranda, is who is the inspector?
Well, there's many ways to describe that question, miss. One way is...
Many ways to describe the question, or many ways to answer it?
Answer it, same thing, describe, okay. Answer. Well, we could say that the inspector represents the police and the courts as he tracks down the truth to
Good.
Find out who killed Eva.
Good.
Amen.
He comes from a... He comes from
this podcast does not have any religious preferences, so we are all equal.
Everybody's okay. Equal.
Carry on.
Which is what Tracy was trying to
nice. Carry on.
Through the Burling family.
He comes from the outside of the class system.
Yes.
He comes from outside the class system.
Yep.
Indeed. No, not necessarily. His class is unspecified.
No,
he doesn't have a class.
No, his class as classless.
No, it's unspecified. Yeah. Because we don't know his class, therefore it's unspecified.
Okay,
carry on. Lovely argument.
He knows how to make an entrance.
He certainly does. How?
Please elaborate.
He made a crucial timing when...
He made a crucial timing? How? That doesn't make sense.
Guys, Everton, you can't pick him apart constantly.
No. Do you know what? Everton, since I've said some of the points...
Yes.
Say some.
Oh, say some. Yes, I will say some. Thank you. Right.
More than one.
All right. I'll say two, in fact. Arguably, Gould's primary role is that of Priestley's mouthpiece.
Ooh.
It was
I said that in part one, please. He uses him as a mouthpiece. He's the voice of Priestley.
Don't get angry. This is all educational.
He's uneducated.
No, stop. Okay.
Please,
not.
Can you stop losing your temper, sir?
Thank you.
Boys. It was well known that Priestley was a socialist and believed people should help each other like bees in a hive. Gould continually points out the
Good
flaws.
Quote there.
Thank you. Gould continually points out the flaws in the capitalism society, or in a capitalist society, which is best presented by Mr. Burling. Burling's belief is that people should look out for themselves. But one way in which Priestley presents the significance of Gould is in some way Eva's guardian angel. The noun Gould is a type of spirit. Given the fact that Gould is omniscient,
very good.
This shows hints of religious imagery.
Love it.
The inspector doesn't seem at all intimidated by Mr. Burling, despite his various attempts, as shown when the inspector replied, you needn't give me any rope. The fact that the inspector is classless, or his class is unspecified, and fearless toward man, portrays qualities of biblical prophets, whom are influenced by the Holy Spirit.
Excellent.
Hence, Gould being almost godlike. This was one way that the significance of Gould was conveyed.
Very good. Miranda, top that.
One way Priestley presents the inspector is... I was joking. As the play was set in the dining room, inspector, he arrives unexpectedly and he just says he's here to ask some questions. The inspector claims he's found a rough sort of diary of a young woman called Eva Smith. Everyone's expression at first is, I don't know. But when the inspector says she was also known as Daisy Ranton, it starts to dig into the character's mind. His language is emotive and personal. He describes Eva / Daisy as pretty and lively girl. These attractive words make the audience more sympathetic towards her. The sympathy is strengthened by the harsh tone used to describe her death.
I love it.
Inspector, I'm not finished. Inspector states that she's now lying with burnt out inside.
I didn't understand
on
that.
On a slab.
Okay. Now, funny how you should go on to the topic of women. Now, let's look on that viewpoint that you have just brought up.
Okay.
Now, one way in which women are portrayed is as inferior to men. In the patriarchal setting of Mr. Burling's company, he is able to dictate women's salaries. This leads to inequality that Eva Smith attempts to address, but this results in her losing her job when she refuses a pay rise just for her. Mr. Burling's lack of care for his employees' welfare highlights women's role in his organization and how little he thinks of their opinions. This clearly reflects society's views of women in 1912 as inferior to men.
Very good.
Also, Priestley presents women in other ways in the play. For example, I could say the way that you're treated depends on your financial state. Even as a woman, if you had money, your opinion was valued. For example, the girl who committed suicide, who is known as Eva Smith or Daisy Renton, or you could say Mrs. Burling, wanted fair pay for her and her co-workers. As I said before, Mr. Burling denied this request. Eva was going to take further action. However, Mr. Burling offered to give her a pay rise, which she denied.
I don't think he did.
Anyway,
you're wrong. But
she denied Mr. Burling's biased request, which is in the play. We should not get that confused. Now, this resulted in Mr. Burling dismissing Miss Smith. Interchangeably, Burling seems to value the opinion of Mrs. Burling, and so does society.
You may ask why you
she is even referred to as Mr. Burling's social superior.
If you could see the hand actions right now.
She is only...
Praise the Lord!
Amen! She is only well represented because she is upper class. Despite her wealth, Mr. Burling seems to be the patriarch as he continuously is leading the conversation. Priestley did this to emphasize how society was ranked and how...
And how
women were treated back in this era.
Good, but remember...
He's done this to emphasize.
Oh, blimey. This podcast meant to be on the inspector.
No, but he decided to change it.
So no, he didn't.
I said a good question.
Shut up. Let's go back to the inspector.
Yeah, right. Inspector.
Let's go back to the inspector.
We're ending this in 3 minutes.
Okay.
You got 3 minutes to tell me about the inspector and then I'm going home.
Okay, another way that Priestley presents the inspector in the play is that the inspector seems to be a mythological human being. A creature.
He's not a creature.
No, we don't know that. He could be an angel.
You just said that.
He's an angel. So in my perspective, he's an angel sending messages.
That's my point, which I just said.
No, I haven't.
But the evidence is right there.
Anyway.
Evidence?
He comes from a different world. He talks about taboo subjects like sex and politics. He erupts and repeats and pauses in ways which were not the norm in middle.
Yes.
The middle class.
You can't read your own handwriting.
The class pre-war of England. The inspector himself is seen to be classless. He comes from the outside.
We've talked about this.
I'm sorry, I just made it
up. Right.
Right, it's funny you should bring up the topic of politics.
Go on.
Because socialism is a political and economical term.
Amen.
Excellent. Again.
Priestley.
No religious preference on this podcast.
Priestley conveyed this through many different characters. For example, Mr. Burling is a very political man.
Yes.
So he shows some characteristics of Priestley.
Good.
Because Priestley, as we know, is a socialist.
Yes.
Mr. Gould, or Inspector Gould, is also political. Because he...
As the question was, it was about the inspector social. And his significance...
I'm not sure I'm publishing
in
this.
...in the play. Yes, you are. Okay, now, sorry. Another way...
Right, that's... Inspector, we're going to just talk about that last speech that he gives.
Yes.
So I'm just
but
going
just
to...
remember this.
Oh, I was going to read it.
One Eva Smith has gone, but there are millions and millions
of Eva Smith and John Smith still left with us,
with their lives, their hopes and fears, their suffering and chance of happiness, all intertwined with our lives. With what we think and say and do. We don't live alone. We are members of one body.
As I quote.
You did not quote that. We are responsible for each other. And I tell you that the time will soon come when if men will not learn that lesson, then they will be taught in fire, blood, and anguish.
Excellent.
And this is significant because
which
shows,
is memorized by
Ebis. It shows how Priestley is trying to
Priestley
is trying to show that by
attempting to convey
that because there's still millions of Eva and John Smith left with us, there is still some hope.
It was a metaphor.
Oh my God. Okay.
You use that language device in order to attract
the attention of the reader and to make the reader think.
Okay. And so our audience, this fire and blood and anguish, this is one of those quotes which it's completely unacceptable if you do not know this when you go into the exam. You can use it in any essay because the idea of social responsibility is applicable for any essay question.
Any essay question.
Any at all, any, guys.
Anything.
But first, let's just have a quick discussion about what this means in fire and blood and anguish.
Indeed.
Fire and blood and anguish, what does this represent?
War.
Excellent. So he could say he could be foreshadowing the war.
Yes.
And what else could it be? If you think of fire and blood and anguish, what other imagery?
Hell.
Good. So it's like hell, isn't it?
Hell,
so,
fire, yes.
Excellent. So it could be have religious connotations as well of, yes, as punishment.
Just to note, Mwanda is going on his phone looking for quotations.
From I am not, because there is no evidence that I'm going on my phone, but... Everton, as you were saying, or miss,
wait,
as you were
we're
saying
going
about,
to wrap it up, not that this is being published, this is rubbish.
No, this is not rubbish, miss, this is good.
Who's going to learn from this?
Everyone.
Okay. No, well, just... I'll publish it and then we'll see how many listens we get.
Okay, without the inspector...
we're done. Can we... Right, you got one final thing to say about the inspector.
Okay, the inspector is the engine of the play,
as he pushes the question and he asks the question.
I like that.
Another. He's a driving force.
Good.
Off the play.
Very good. Everton? Pause.
Now, I have a few very brief...
They better be
observations
brief.
...observations of the inspector. The inspector works very systematically. He likes to deal with one person at a time. As he said, your time will come.
Yes, very good.
And yes, I'm not done. He is a figure of authority. He deals with each member of the family very firmly, regardless of their status.
One at a time.
No, that was systematically, because it shows order.
Can you please finish your sentence?
It's not a sentence, it's a statement.
Wrap it up.
He seems to know and understand an extraordinary amount. He knows the history of Eva Smith and the Burlings' involvement in it. Even though she died only hours ago, Sheila tells Gerald, of course he knows. And his final speech is like a sermon or a politician's. He leaves the family with the message, we are responsible for each other, and warns them of the fire, blood, and anguish that will result if they do not pay attention to what he has taught them.
Now, the inspector is talking about the collective responsibility. Everyone in society is linked in the same way that the characters are linked to Eva Smith. Everyone is a part of one body. Can you please not talk when I'm talking, please? The inspector sees society as more important than individuals' interests. The views he is propounding are like those of Priestley, who was a socialist. He adds a clear warning about what could happen if, like, some members of the family were ignored.
We know this warning by now.
Okay,
go on.
And I quote.
Sorry.
And I tell you that the time will come soon when if men...
He's reading it off of Google.
No, I'm not
reading it off of Google.
This is off my Google. This is off my book.
I'm done.
Can I please finish my quote?
Done.
Yes.
And if I tell you that the time will come soon when if men will not learn...
Well, we know. Fire and blood and anguish. The end. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you. Yes.
That was Mwanda and Everton.
E_Biz16.
And
we'll be back.